Automatic Joy, a Fandom for Robots story written by Dot Sayers and read by
Jack's Long Coat as Bjorn Ruffian,
Flower Parish as Computron,
Gil Rayner as the moderator,
and Wilfriede 0815 as the narrator. Cyro turned his head towards his human companion and felt his circuits begin to whir. He was not programmed to experience human emotions such as confusion or longing, but the more time he spent in the company of Allison, the more his circuitry came to recognize a shift in positronic interaction.
Robo, you know I love your technobabble so much, but what is this? BR.
Allison looked back at him and smiled, showing his sharp teeth. His lips were stained with oil, having just bitten through the wiring of an enemy android to prevent it from shooting Cyro with a rudimentary weapon which would have barely grazed his solid metallic chassis. Why did you endanger yourself in pursuit of such an inferior enemy? Cyro was also not programmed to experience worry. His circuits did not understand this and persisted in whirring, a clear attempt to emulate the sensation. Allison's eyes rolled in their sockets.
I wasn't going to let you get hurt, Cy. You're important to me.
BRB drawing this scene. BR.
2 weeks before the premiere of the highly anticipated second season of Hyperdimension Warp Record, Bjorn Ruffian visits the Simeg Robotics Museum twice within 48 hours, a significant statistical anomaly when compared with average attendance figures for the attraction. It has been many years since the museum was last a center of technological excellence. Computron is not programmed to understand this behavior. At first, he is not aware that Bjorn Ruffian has visited his living space at all. Bjorn Ruffian is identified within the Warp Record fandom by their distinctive, superior art style and stylized icons featuring Cyro and Allison in various action poses, and not by their human facial features or the arrangement thereof. Therefore, Computron only becomes aware of their presence through an instant message sent some minutes after his scheduled shutdown time. Maintenance has become lax in upholding the integrity of the Elquist collection, due to the same perceived lack of value that has long prevented legal digitization of the late scientist's papers. Computron has devoted a small portion of his processing power each day to illicit digitization for distribution among the Warp Record fandom. The small number of humans who have accessed the documents have expressed their sincere gratitude to RobotFan. This gratitude was diverting enough that Computron's responses in that day's Robotics Then and Now presentation were a full 46 milliseconds slower than usual. Computron does not have emotions to respond to this lack of attention from maintenance with, but he has found the increased time for repeat viewings of hyperwarp and associated activity has facilitated a statistically significant impact on his productivity.
Bjorn Ruffian, I visited your favorite place today.
File transfer of Simeg Robotics Trip 001.png from Bjorn Ruffian started. File transfer of Simeg Robotics Trip 001.png from Bjorn Ruffian finished.
Robot fan, were you satisfied with your visit? There are many exhibits which I would have recommended if you had requested advice.
Bjorn Ruffian. Yeah, it was great. I didn't get through everything I wanted to yesterday, so I just had to come back and check the rest of it all out. Kind of bummed that the Then from Robotics Then and Now got cancelled. Computron seems like it has kind of a Cyro vibe.
Computron had indeed missed his scheduled question and answer session that day, due to a mishap caused by a small child, a large beaker of carbonated liquid, and his lower left probic vent. The day before, the session was pushed aside in favor of an extended performance by Tetsuchan after a recent update to its programming which incorporated the worm. He wondered if Bjorn Ruffian had been in attendance.
Robot fan, I did not know you were in the vicinity of the Simac Museum presently.
Bjorn Ruffian. Oh yeah, I thought I'd keep it a surprise because I had to make sure I could get a couple of things lined up right for it. You live nearby, right?
Robot fan. Yes, I am in extreme proximity.
Computer wondered what the surprise could possibly be. His artificial intelligence was not calibrated for the prediction of random elements with any level of accuracy. He waited for 400 seconds before he considered that Bjorn Ruffian may be waiting for some prompt to continue.
Robot fan, why have you asked?
Bjorn Ruffian. Well, I figured since you're such a fan of the museum, and I'm a newbie to the whole actually knowing anything about electronics thing, it would be super fun for us to go to the museum together. I just had to make sure they had quiet hours since my brain is, you know, cool and different.
Computron's processing circuits made a significantly louder noise than usual as he attempted to formulate a response.
Robot fan, I would be satisfied with this arrangement. However, it is impossible as I am not able to attend the museum as a visitor.
Bjorn Ruffian. What the hell, Robo? Did they ban you or something?
Robot fan, I work at the museum. Therefore, it would be impossible to pay you the socially expected amount of attention during your visit.
If Computron had been fitted with an emotion circuit, he would surely be feeling a great amount of anxiety over this creative interpretation of the truth. Since he did not, he merely checked his internal chronometer every 20 milliseconds to ensure accuracy.
Bjorn Ruffian. No way, that's so cool!
Robot fan. My workspace is kept to a temperature consistent with the rest of the museum.
Bjorn Ruffian. LOL.
Robot fan. As a robot, there are few other opportunities for work.
Bjorn Ruffian. Love that for you.
His processing circuits were still making a noise which would have bothered him if he were capable of being bothered.
Bjorn Ruffian. I'm still in town for another day. I'll come tomorrow and wear my warp record shirt with a determined Cyro line art, just for you. Heart. That way you can recognize me without the whole awkward, is that you, are you a weirdo, are you an axe murderer, dilemma.
And then, before Computron could explain to Bjorn Ruffian why such a thing was not a logical idea, they had already set their status to offline. He does not power down for the evening at his usual time. Bjorn Ruffian does not regain online status, and Computron is able to watch 156 minutes of hyperwarp analysis on his preferred video streaming site before his low battery activates automatic shutdown. Comments on Chassis Repair for Dummies by RobotFan. Transaber. Robo, you are getting so much better with Allison's dialogue. Absolute banger of a fake. Love the fight scene and the technical details during the repairs. As always, LMAO. Allison Guy, 1985. Still convinced you're an alien or something, but the bit where Allison fucking bites a robot? Absolutely incredible feral little guy. Huge fan. Finally got me to sub, lol.
Bjorn Ruffian. I know we already talked this to death, but god, this fic is so sexy, Robo. I have finally corrupted you and it feels so good.
Super Who Warp. When are you going to update Jupiter Falls? We need more Cyro! Triple grin emoticon. Robotics Then and Now. Galatea Auditorium. Tuesdays and Thursdays, 10 a.m. to 10:45 a.m. Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays, 1 p.m. to 1:45 p.m. For thousands of years, humanity has sought to create artificial life. From the ancient Greeks' theoretical automata to the folkloric figure of the Golem of Prague, all the way to modern innovations in the field of bomb disposal units and automatic car manufacture, we have worked to recreate some vital element of humanity with the help of technology. The then portion of this presentation includes a short history of the troubled life of Dr. Karel Elquist, followed by a question-and-answer session with his only successful attempt at creating an artificial intelligence, the 70-year-old robot Computron. Please note, due to its age, Computron is occasionally unavailable for public display. The Now portion is a journey through today's innovations in robotics, concluding with a specially choreographed dance performed by Tetsuchan, the incredible breakdancing automaton created by CIMAC Robotics Museum's parent company. After 2 days of unexpected cancellations, the Galatea Auditorium is 15% closer to capacity than during average performances of Robotics Then and Now. Computron, standing in the wings behind the dust-covered curtains, scans the audience with 100% of his focus. He cannot locate Bjorn Ruffian's admittedly distinct t-shirt. While they have been communicating over the internet for some months, Computron has never sought out any images of Bjorn Ruffian's face or body, so he has very little information to assist him in recognizing his friend. Friendship is not something Elquist programmed him to achieve. He has begun to question, ever more frequently, what exactly it is in his programming that has allowed him to contravene his creator's initial intentions in so many and varied ways. The question and answer portion of the presentation has grown shorter and shorter over the decades Computron has resided at the CIMAC Robotics Museum. Initially, his intelligence was seen as a novelty, and later as a con, which was being perpetrated by Big Google. Now, he understands his shortened contact time with the public has been driven at least partially by his lack of aesthetic appeal to the minimalist sensibilities of modern times. Hyperwarp fandom has been unusual in its appreciation of Syro's retro design and angularity. He regularly receives IMs from other members of the fandom linking him to newly posted fan art, which shows Syro from particularly dramatic angles, his metallic features cast in shadow. He has saved many of these images to his personal hard drive allocation. This allocation is only rarely audited by the museum staff, as it seems they have forgotten his sentience extends beyond the 20 minutes he spends on stage each day. The first three questions are the same questions Computron has answered 100 times before. Just within the past year, he has created a number of subroutines for answering them automatically, which have increased his battery efficiency by 22%, allowing him to enter nightly hibernation an average of 45 minutes after the recommended schedule, without any adverse effect on his productivity. He holds the microphone in his left claw and once again scans the auditorium before the moderator can select the final audience member. In the fourth row, his admittedly outdated visual processor registers a human wearing a t-shirt bearing the neon-themed logo of the upcoming second season of Hyperwarp. A sketch of Syro with glowing yellow eyes is superimposed over the image.
"I have selected the final questioner,"
he vocalizes, interrupting the clearly confused moderator. He has worked with this employee on a number of occasions, and has come to understand that she does not actually believe that he is sentient. There is a persistent rumor among recently hired staff that he is an empty shell with a microphone linked to a very limited search engine.
"Oh,"
says the moderator, before quickly assembling a facsimile of a smile. Her teeth are too visible for it to be genuine.
"Okay, Computron is choosing our final question. Let's hope it's a good one."
Computron points at Bjorn Ruffian. It can only be Bjorn Ruffian, with his free claw.
"What is your inquiry?"
Bjorn Ruffian stands up and waits patiently to be handed the Q&A microphone. They are wearing plain black jeans, as well as their determined Syro shirt. Their face is arranged in a way which Computron understands to be aesthetically pleasing. They retain both eyes, although they are wearing a corrective aid for their sight, which has large round frames. Their long black hair is twisted into a three-stranded braid, a few wisps loose against their light brown skin.
"I was just wondering, Computron, being the only sentient robot must get kind of lonely. Do you have many friends?"
Computron's auditory analysis indicates that Bjorn Ruffian is speaking with complete sincerity.
"Yes, I do have a friend."
His claw tightens on the microphone. It is clearly time for a tune-up of his wrist servos.
"While I am unable to leave the museum, I have access to the web and am permitted free rein during my off hours."
"Oh, awesome,"
says Bjorn Ruffian. Their feet shuffle slightly as they pass the microphone from one hand to the other, completely lacking any rhythm.
"I hope you get to meet them someday."
The moderator thanks Bjorn Ruffian before they sit back down, then thanks the whole audience for their patience in waiting for Computron's repairs to be effected. There had been no actual repairs carried out by anyone besides Computron himself. He is the only remaining expert on Elquist's proprietary circuitry. He goes to sit at the side of the stage, rather than returning to his space behind the scenes. He observed Tetsuchan's newest routine and allows a number of smaller humans to poke curiously at his outer chassis as they file out of the auditorium. Eventually, he is one of two sentients left in the room.
"Computron,"
says Bjorn Ruffian, coming to stand in front of him. Computron is approximately 2 meters tall when fully upright, so Bjorn Ruffian, statistically shorter than most adults of their age, is still forced to look up at him even when he is sat on the low bench by the stage.
Thanks for choosing me for the Q&A.
It was a good question.
Well, sure. I mean, I never really thought about how robots would feel about stuff until I got more into robots in fiction. Nowadays, I spend most of my time thinking about it.
They laugh, mostly to themselves, then frown.
I was meant to meet a friend here today. He said he works here, but I couldn't find anyone who seemed to recognize the signal we agreed on.
That is not technically accurate,
Computron vocalizes. The voice synthesizer Elquist had installed in 1954 degraded severely in the mid-1980s, requiring a full replacement with a model which more closely resembled the stylophone in tone and body.
The signal has been recognized by its intended viewer.
Bjorn Ruffian's forehead creased. Computron was once again fascinated by the malleability of human tissue, compared with his own solidity.
You mean, I missed him?
Computron's head tilted forwards.
No, Robot Fan is a robot. You are aware of this.
I don't... Oh.
Bjorn Ruffian looked at Computron with renewed interest, brow still creased. His circuits began to whir.
Oh my god. Oh my god, it's you!
Their hands fluttered in the air before coming to rest on Computron's left arm.
Oh my god, Robot Fan, this is amazing! What the fuck? You're actually a robot!
Yes, I have mentioned this multiple times.
Bjorn Ruffian made a noise which Computron could not interpret. Their lips pressed together, and a loud grating sound came out of both their mouth and nose simultaneously. Then they laughed, which Computron had learned about from Elquist. This iteration of laughter was very different to Elquist's.
God, you really have.
They patted Computron's arm a few times.
This is a big moment for me, a known cyrofucker.
This is an appellation which Computron has heard applied to himself on more than one occasion. However, Bjorn Ruffian is a much more apt recipient, being a major producer of pornographic fan art of Cyro and Ellison in a number of unlikely positions and scenarios. This is also often sent to Computron via instant message, and saved on an encrypted partition within his personal hard drive allocation.
If I was capable of surprise, I believe I would be feeling surprised by your enthusiastic acceptance,
Computron admits.
This does not seem like a standard social interaction.
Robo, I have to tell you, and this is not to invalidate your, lack of emotion, but you have so many feelings all the time.
Bjorn Ruffian's hand is still on his arm. Computron does not have tactile sensation in his chassis, which is why it is impossible that his arm feels like a high-intensity acetylene torch has been focused on that portion of his bodywork.
It's adorable. Like, the first time we ever talked about Ellie Cyro, you genuinely went into all caps.
Computron whirs quietly for a moment.
I do not understand. I was not programmed with emotions.
This is such a TNG argument we're having right now. Look, you are a data, and the guy who created you gaslit you into thinking your experiences and interpretations of the world weren't emotions just because you feel them in a way he doesn't understand. If you really didn't feel anything, I can't see you writing as much as you have. There's real feeling in there, Robo. You get into Cyro's head better than anyone else in this fandom.
I will need time to syncretize this information into my self-concept. The museum will be closing soon. Would you like assistance in returning to the foyer?
No way, Robo,
says Bjorn Ruffian. They grin, showing off their teeth. Their incisors are particularly sharp. They lift up the bag they'd brought with them.
We are having a sleepover.
Computron has never knowingly aided a museum visitor in staying on the premises past the posted opening hours. However, this is an unusual circumstance. And there is room, back in the storeroom housing the Elquist collection, for a sleeping mat to be set down, and a laptop to be set up with the Hyperwarp Season 2 leak, which occurs just minutes after Bjorn Ruffian has changed into soft sleepwear.
It's fate,
says Bjorn Ruffian, as they close a number of malicious pop-up advertisements with practiced ease. Computron has retracted his legs into his main chassis, giving himself a small enough frame to fit into the small nook Bjorn Rafian has commandeered for the evening without crushing them. They have padded his upper arm with a blanket and are leaning their head against it. The OP of Hyperwarp Season 2 fills the screen before them. Bjorn Rafian gasps, their mouth twisting into a smile. One hand comes up to cover their mouth. Computron watches with his claws clasped tightly together. His face has never been animate, excepting a short experiment on Elquist's part during his early existence. He wonders whether Elquist might have believed his creation lacked emotion because he could not see them expressed outwardly. It was an intriguing hypothesis. As Cyro's claw sweeps through a line of enemy androids with practiced ease, preventing a laser blast from connecting with Ellison's lower back and causing certain paralysis, his fans begin to whir quietly. The sound is not bothersome. He realizes, after a moment, that he has leaned towards the screen. Ellison shoots an electric grin towards Cyro and moves to collect a mysterious artifact which floats in a containment field at the far side of the room the episode has begun in media res. Bjorn Rafian smiles again, turning their head towards him.
Your crush is showing, Robo.
Computron cannot feign ignorance of the metaphorical meaning of this term. Bjorn Rafian explained it to him some time ago, when an anonymous commenter said they had a crush on his brain.
His character is compelling,
he agrees, modulating his volume so that it does not drown out the sound of Ellison's battle with one of the seven sabers.
This season is going to be so fucking good,
says Bjorn Rafian, leaning against the filing cabinet at their back. Computron nods, mutely, and considers the whir of his circuitry as Bjorn Rafian's biceps flex when they move to collect sustenance. It is a good evening. Computron feels the way he thinks an overheated processor might feel when the cooling fan activates. If this is relief or happiness, he supposes Bjorn Rafian may be correct about his feelings. It is a pleasant realization.
Bjorn Rafian posted, "Oh my god, you guys, what a fucking episode! And you will never guess who this lucky bitch got to watch the subbed leak with. But all that can wait until we get below the cut. Because, oh baby, do we have some theories to share. Major Season 2 Episode 1 spoilers herein."
The End.